welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. Mark Levone, your host for an hour of horror. Later on, it's The Mysterious Traveler from 1952, but first the story The Castle by the Sea on the Hermit's Cave, the syndicated episode from in and about the year 1942.
The Carter Coal Company and the dealers of Olga Coal present
The Mummer, a little theater of the air.
The hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Have you heard the story? Castle by the Sea? Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
Beach and rest, Marie. Walked a long way from the hotel.
Yes, let's.
Oh, I'm tired out.
But I thought we were going to climb the mountain over there to the west and get a good look at the old castle.
Well, let's rest first.
All right.
When we started walking this morning, the old ruins looked quite near. I'll wager we've walked 3 miles since morning. Seems as far away as it did when we started out.
Yes, it is.
Glory, but this is a beautiful spot, Marie.
Isn't it, though? Oh, Dave, it was grand of you to pick such a beautiful spot for us to vacation in.
I knew you'd like it. Look at the sea. It sparkles like an opal.
Yes.
Off in the distance, it looks as white as milk.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh, look way out in the water. I see 2 tiny little ships. See them?
Yes, I think I do.
It's so beautiful here. You'd almost think you might be dreaming. The ships are so far away, you might think they're unreal.
As idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean.
That's from something I read as a child.
Yes, remember it?
Well, not right now.
Day after day we stuck. No breath, no motion. As idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean.
What's it from? The Ancient Mariner.
That's right.
And the tall, desolate castle over there in the distance gives me as many shivers as The Ancient Mariner did when I first read it.
You shiver over the castle, darling, because of the story the hotel proprietor told me about it.
Why did he act so mysterious?
Oh, I think the natives around here actually believe the old place is haunted.
Do they really? Oh, Dave, let's walk over and visit us.
The owner of the hotel said we wouldn't be able to get beyond the gate. There's an old servant woman who lives in it, and she guards the place like a dragon.
An old woman lives all alone in that desolate place?
That's what he said.
Think of it. Where's the owner?
He is on the continent somewhere, I think. He's never returned to visit it.
Why not?
Guess no one knows. But the people at the hotel told me something very queer happened at the castle. All has to do with him. And that's why it's a haunted place now.
Oh.
Some calamity befell him there, and he left, never to return.
Is he an old man?
Must be, from the story. Because it's almost become a legend. Must be a man in his 80s.
Think of it. Let's walk over to it, Dave, and at least see it from a closer vantage point.
I'm willing.
All right. We ought to reach it in another half hour.
Queer, Marie. When we sat down here to rest, the sky was clear as a diamond.
Now it's getting cloudy, isn't it?
Yes.
Look, how fast the clouds are gathering, and they all seem to meet right at the top of the castle.
By George, they do. Maybe the old ruins is a rendezvous for the storms that scatter over the sea.
No, you're only trying to frighten me and make it sound all the more mysterious, isn't it?
Yes, it was. We ought to turn back for the hotel.
When we've come this far? Oh, never.
They get caught in a nasty storm, you know.
Something weird about thunder in the heart of daytime, isn't there? I always associate it with black night.
You may have black night any time now.
Perhaps the old servant will give us shelter in the castle.
Oh, that's what you're counting on, is it?
Ask him how far it is to the castle, Dave.
We know how far it is. We have to start climbing the hill in a minute.
Absolutely lives around. Absolutely lives.
I've seen the queer lights coming from it at night. Bewitched, that's what it is.
Listen, you don't really believe that now, do you?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever come near it?
Once, a year ago, I went up to the Sneed.
Oh,
that's right.
I guess we'll venture up the mountain anyway.
Well, a storm, sir. I wouldn't go. Hear the thunder? When a storm comes up here on the sea, it's quite bad.
I'll take a chance. Thank you for your information.
The sea washes right up to the edge of the slope of this mountain. Real high, too. We won't be able to get away.
We won't stay long. Now, we won't get caught. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Did he story right enough? You ready to climb?
Yes, I'm more anxious now. Strange lights coming from this night. Weird faces peering out. Who wouldn't want to go?
An inquisitive woman would.
Here's a path to follow. Makes climbing easier.
We're near the top of the hill. The thunder sounds closer. But we've spotted its hiding place.
Look. It's an enormous structure.
All castles are.
The windows are tumbling out, falling into ruin.
You should say it is.
How could a person live all alone in this place?
I wouldn't want the job.
It's getting very dark.
Here comes the rain. Whew. We will have to ask for shelter.
The gate's unlocked. Come, we can at least sit on the veranda till the storm breaks.
All right, run. Run, it's coming down in a fury now.
I hope the lightning doesn't decide to strike this old place. I'm soaking wet.
I'll see what your inquisitive nature has led us into.
You wanted to come here sad and sadly as I did, and you know it.
Now we are here. It's nothing but a roof and a first-rate thunder shower for entertainment.
James, the old servant, doesn't come to scare us away.
You look so much like a mermaid with your hair streaming down. You frightened her away.
Dave, I thought I heard someone moaning.
Have your ears tuned for ghosts, honey. You hear anything right now.
No, I'm certain I heard someone this time.
Oh, it's the thunder you hear.
I can hear the thunder all right. There's another peculiar sound. Like a person moaning in distress.
Yes, I do hear it now. Wonder what it can be.
Do you hear it? Or doesn't it sound like someone crying out in pain?
Yes. Yes, it does.
See, the sea.
What?
Over there in the yard, under the tree.
By George. Must be the old servant woman.
And she's ill. Go get her. Bring her here in the porch, out of the storm.
Sure. I say, are you ill? May I carry you over to the porch, out of the storm? Here, let me lift you up. Carry you over to the house.
Oh.
Am I hurting you? Does it hurt to carry you?
I'm so sick. Did she hurt, Dave?
She's ill. See if you can open the door so I can carry her inside.
Oh, it's locked.
Well, see if you can find a bunch of keys on her dress.
No, you can't go in. She doesn't want us inside, Dave.
She's ill. We have to take her inside.
Here's some keys.
Try them.
Oh, this one doesn't work.
Another one.
I believe this one's going to fit.
Bring the door open wide so I can get through with her.
You mustn't come in. No.
Sorry, lady. We have to help you. Can't leave you outdoors.
Where are you going to take her? Look at this hall. It's all cobwebs.
I'm so sick.
I'll find some water or something and give you hot tea. Well, your clothes are wet clear through.
Shall I help her undress?
No.
You come out of the room with me and see what we can fix for her.
All right. We'll be back in a few moments and give you something hot to drink.
Yes, I'm so sick. I'm going to die.
Go away and close the door.
Die.
Now, I guess we are in for something.
Yes, I guess we are.
It's getting night. Storm hasn't stopped. The old servant is ill, and you and me. Well, it looks as if we had a job on our hands and a night to spend in a desolate castle.
She seems to be sleeping now, so I guess we can get some rest.
Think you'll be able to sleep in this bed?
I could sleep anywhere. I'm weary.
This must be a woman's room.
Yes, it's filled with things that were once fine and lovely.
Now,
I guess I
was. The box down in the food.
Lay, wasn't it?
Yes. The owner must keep her supplied with enough to live on. Mm. Glad he includes candles, I must say. I wouldn't want to spend a night in this place without light.
Nor I. Poor old lady.
Do you think she is going to die?
I think she had a stroke.
We should go for a doctor in the morning.
We will if she isn't better.
She looks as if she'd lived for centuries, doesn't she?
She's like a witch out of a fairy story.
She has a beautiful old gold pendant around her neck, and she acts as if she were afraid we were going to take it. What was that?
The door. The wind blew it open and shut again. Locks are all worn out.
Give me the shudders.
You're going to listen to all the creaks and noises in this house all night. You'll have delirium tremens, not shudders.
Well, let's try and get some sleep. I wish it were morning. Dave, what was that?
Marie, I told you you'd hear strange sounds all night.
But that sound came from right near this bed, over on the wall. It did, Dave. Listen to it.
I hear it.
Well, what is it?
I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I don't know.
There it is again.
My golly, that is a queer sound.
David. Oh, look. Oh, look. Standing there in the doorway. Look.
What is it?
A woman.
Is it the servant?
I don't know. Speak to her.
What do you want? Are you all right?
She doesn't speak. It's a young woman.
Who are you?
She's living right over by this bed. David!
Who are you? What do you want?
She's coming closer.
She's moving over where the knocking sound comes from.
She isn't alive. She's something inhuman.
She stands over by that wall, trying to take the bricks away.
Take me away! Take me away from here! Take me away!
Rachel. Our imaginations are running wild. You can't leave this old woman. Come into her room with me.
Stay close beside me.
I won't leave you. Here's the door.
Oh, I'm going to die.
Are you so very ill? Should we get a doctor for you?
I'm going to die.
What can we do for you?
Did you see Noreen?
Who's Noreen?
The spirit of my mistress. She walks the house day and night. And now when I'm gone, she won't have anyone to keep her company. She'll be all alone. All alone.
We thought we saw someone come into our room.
You did. Noreen, the spirit of my beautiful mistress, trying to save her lover.
What is the strange story of this house?
When I die, will you stay and keep her company if I... I'll tell you her story, will you?
Yes, we will help you.
I've guarded the secret all these years, watched over her spirit. Will you care for her if I tell you the story?
We'll watch over her.
The owner of this house killed her body, but not her spirit. It lingers on, hunting for her lover, trying to save him. Her husband was a horrible man, a brute. The family arranged the marriage. Noreen loved life and beauty. 2 years before, she'd fallen in love with a young Spanish gentleman. He came at night while her husband was away. But the master returned unexpectedly. I had but a second to warn her before he... He walked into a room.
I am too early, you mean?
Have you had bad news? You look like a thunderbolt.
Dismiss your maid.
You may go, Domino.
Yes, madam.
My dear Noreen, if I am not mistaken... There is someone hiding in your closet.
You are mistaken.
Tonight, while playing billiards, I learned that your charming Spanish lover...
You were misinformed.
I know there's someone hiding in that closet, and I shall look...
Stop! Take my word for it, sir.
You will swear there was no one in there?
Yes.
Will you swear by this charm of my ancestors? Carry the crest of my family. Touch your lips first. Swear to me that there's no one in that closet.
I swear.
All right. I believe. Now, call your servant into your room.
She's right outside. I'll ring for her.
Yes, madam.
What did you wish of Dominion, sir?
It matters not the hour, Dominion. I wish you to call a stonemason to this room at once.
Yes, sir.
And I shall sit and wait in this room until he comes.
And there he sat, never taking his eyes off my dear mistress for 3 hours, waiting for the stonemason. And a lover stood waiting for his fate in the clothes closet. When the stonemason came, I took him into the room.
The stonemason is here, sir.
That is good. Sir, go and fetch bricks. Bring sufficient to wall up the door of this closet. And then plaster the wall. I want it done tonight while I sit here. Tonight, you hear? Death may disturb your sweet sleep, my dear Noreen.
No. I shall sleep.
Then do the job tonight. Now.
It was awful. There he stayed. My poor mistress fainted during the night into a living tomb.
Great heaven.
It was an awful thing to hear. It rings in my ears tonight. I can hear the master laughing as the scratching inside the wall began.
There was no one in the closet, was there, my sweet wife? My sweet Noreen.
Oh, have mercy upon me.
Mercy, mercy. There is no mercy to be had for the wicked.
But I loved him. We were going to run away together. I would have left you forever.
Yes, but it is now too late, my sweet. You can't get away, and surely your lover can escape. Smothering, choking, dying. Caught inside my lady's wall. You. But I am the one who lived forever, never returned. You can do what you like. But if you ever tell of this, I'll publish your sin abroad to everyone in the country road.
This can't be true.
Yes, it is true. My mistress died shortly after. I told no one, for her spirit returns, trying to find her lover each night, trying to get him out of the closet. And I stay with her and carry the candle in my hand to guide her. This is a child. With her vow upon it, she sealed him into death. But she's paid for her sin, hasn't she?
And her husband?
He's never come back. He sends me things from time to time, but he knows I won't talk, for I love my mistress. And now I shall die, and she'll be all alone.
Daylight will come soon. Then we'll get help for you.
I'm going to die. All these years, the spirit of Noreen and her lover, they've been constantly in this house. Only I've been near to watch them. But now I shall die.
Poor Dominia. Poor soul. Living with dead spirits.
They've kept intruders out all these years. Now they'll come and frighten my mistress away.
We'll stay until morning, and then we'll bring you help. Now close your eyes. Don't try to speak. Just rest and sleep.
Maybe one of us should have stayed with her instead of us both going to the hotel for help.
There's nothing to be done for her. She had another stroke early this morning.
We must walk fast.
Yes. What a horrible night.
What an awful life she's led. Can it all be true?
I don't know. We did see that.
Yes, I'm sure we saw the spirit. I know it. And the sound within the wall. We did hear that.
Yes.
Oh, look. Here comes the young boy we met yesterday walking along the beach.
Yes, it is he, isn't it?
Shall we tell him we were at the castle?
No, don't mention it. At the hotel, we'll explain it.
Hello?
Hello.
Out walking again today?
Yes, just admiring your scenery along here.
I'm going towards the castle now. Look behind you and see what's happening to it.
What?
Look. Yes, it's all afire. I saw it when I was way down the beach and came running.
Merciful heavens. And we never looked back and noticed.
As if a bolt of lightning had struck it. The whole castle is ablaze.
I ran back to save the old servant.
Say, if that old lady is still in there, we can never get there in time to save her. 30 minutes walk to the castle from where we stand now. We could never make it.
Then she's all alone in there. Oh, run, run, David.
No, you.
I'm going up to see what I can see. Guess no spirits will bother now. They've all been burned out. I'm glad
Marie,
it's gone. It'll be fine.
Marie, we aren't to blame for this. Don't tell them at the hotel where we were. We stayed in a shelter of a cover overnight. We must stay. They would think we set the place on fire. And the story the old servant told us, as weird as the tale of the ancient mariner.
It vanished forever in the fire, and the spirits were set free. Turn on your light. Turn them on.
The Hermit's Cave, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated broadcast from 1942. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, The Mysterious Traveler brings forth the story Stranger in the House, which was also used about 7 years previous on the Sealed Book series, which had the same writers Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan. Kogan would also produce and direct this broadcast, heard on Mutual Radio on January 29th, 1952.
Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler, written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan, and starring two of radio's foremost personalities, Bryna Rayburn and Lyle Sudro, in Stranger in the House. This is The Mysterious Traveler inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we follow the nerve-wracking adventures of a young couple in search of a home. It's the story I call Stranger in the House. The scene, the small village of Woodford in Vermont. It's 9 o'clock in the evening, and the main street of the village is deserted. A car comes speeding through the village, and with a squeal of its brakes, comes to a stop before the home of Dr. Samuel Stewart. A young woman, obviously distraught, gets out from behind the wheel of the car and hurries up the walk to the doctor's home.
Yes, won't you come in?
Thank you. Doctor, you've got to help me. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, of course I'll help you. Here, let me have your coat. All right. Now, what appears to be wrong?
I don't know how to tell you about it. You'll think I'm insane, but I'm not. I'm not.
I'm sure you're not. Now, why not start from the beginning and tell me what's troubling you?
Well, I suppose it all began the day my husband and I left this village to look at a house in the country that was for sale. Yes, I can recall how happy we were as we drove through the countryside. Oh, Roger. Darling, I do hope this will be the house we're searching for. Oh, look, we're coming to the old colonial graveyard the agent told us about. He said the house was a quarter of a mile beyond.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of this curve, there should be a small bridge over a stream.
Small bridge over a stream?
Mm-hmm. Look, there it is. Now, the house should be just a little beyond.
Roger, I don't recall the agent having mentioned the bridge.
Why, he must have, darling. How else would I have known it was there? Now, look, there's the house.
Oh, Roger, isn't it beautiful?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and what a view it commands.
All right, now, look, Jane, you mustn't get too excited about the place. It's probably all fallen to ruins inside.
Oh, nonsense, darling. You can see it's one of those early colonial houses built to endure for centuries. Oh, it's just what we've been dreaming of.
Yes. This place certainly looks wild and desolate, doesn't it?
Well, naturally. The agent said it's been empty for years. Come on.
Uh-huh. Well, what'd I do with that key now?
Roger, look at this old engraved plate set in the wall.
Hmm?
You can barely make it out. Wickford Manor. Oh, that's a lovely name.
Yeah, here we are. Here's the key.
Wickford Manor. Oh, I know I'm going to love this place.
There you are. After you, Mrs. Barton.
And clammy in here.
Yes, yes, but look at that staircase, that beautiful staircase and those ceiling beams. Janie, honey, you were right. This place was built to endure. This house is in wonderful condition.
Yes, so it seems.
And it's just the size house we need, with four rooms upstairs.
Four rooms upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you know, Roger, that the agent never mentioned how many rooms the house had?
He didn't. Well, there's only one way to find out, then. Let's go upstairs and look. Come on, Janie. These stairs are as sound as the day they were built. This house would require very little in the way of repairs.
Yes, but it hasn't any electricity, Roger.
Oh, so what? We could use lamps till a line could be run to the house. There. Now, you see what I tell you? There are four rooms upstairs.
Oh, yes, so there are. It's as though you'd been in this house before.
Well, as a matter of fact, I almost have a feeling I have been. Maybe that's the reason I like it. Darling, what's the matter? You've been ever so quiet since we entered the house. Don't you care for it?
Oh, it's lovely, Roger. Only...
Only what?
I don't know. It seems unfriendly.
Unfriendly? Who ever heard of a house being unfriendly? And you were crazy about the place when we drove up to it.
Yes, yes, I know, but that was... before we entered
it. Well, honey, it's even nicer inside than it is outside.
Yes, I suppose
And think of what a bargain it is at $5,000, Jane. Why, we've looked at houses that cost twice as much and weren't as nice.
It is a bargain.
But you still don't like it, do you? All right. Then we'll keep looking till we find a house we both like.
Oh, nonsense, darling. Well, we'll never find anything nicer. Now, that room with the southern exposure will be our bedroom, and that room...
Oh, Janie, you're wonderful. And we will be happy here, honey. I know we will.
In the weeks that followed, I was too busy with the repairs and furnishings of the house to give any thought to my misgivings. But they all returned in overwhelming force that first evening in our new home. I left Roger sitting in the study and made my way up the dark, winding staircase to our bedroom. After tossing for what seemed hours, I fell into a fitful sleep. I suddenly awakened to hear the clock in the hall striking the hour. It was 4:00. And Roger's bed was empty. Quickly slipping on my robe, I left my room and started down the stairs to the study. As I reached the foot of the stairs, I stopped.
For, who are you?
To my astonishment, I heard Roger's voice in the study.
Miss, I
slowly approached until
only I
was
make
at the
you
door.
Clearer. It's so difficult. The mist obscures your face. Who are you? Well, why don't you say something?
Roger! What? Roger, unlock this door. It's Jane.
Miss, it's coming between us. I can hardly see you. Oh, no, don't go. Come back. Please, come back.
Darling, please unlock this door. Please. Roger! Oh, Roger.
What is it, Jane?
I was so frightened. Who were you talking to?
Talking to?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I must have been dreaming.
Yes, you must have been there. There isn't anyone. Roger,
yeah?
You smell perfume in here.
Perfume? Well, yes. Isn't it the perfume I gave you for your birthday?
No, it isn't my perfume. It smells like narcissus.
Yes.
Darling, what were you dreaming about?
Well, it was night, and all around me was a mist. A mist so heavy I couldn't see more than a few feet. There was a woman.
A woman?
Yes, yes, I could barely make out her face in this swirling mists, but it was a beautiful face. Most beautiful I've ever seen.
How strange. Of course it was a dream.
Yes, of course.
We both agreed it was a dream. But in our unspoken thoughts, it was more than a dream. The next day, I entered the study several times to find Roger sitting at his desk, staring into space. The scent of narcissus was gone. That night, Roger tossed and turned in his bed, unable to fall asleep. Just before dawn, I awoke to find his bed empty. A cold terror swept over me as I left my room and started down the stairs to the study. And then I heard that which I most dreaded to hear. Roger's voice.
Who are you? This mist. If only you'd come closer. Bridge the distance between us. I've seen you before, haven't I? And yet, where? Yes. Yes, I can see much better now. You are beautiful. Who are you?
Roger! Roger, please open the door.
Why are you leaving? No, 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 please don't. Come back, please, come back.
Darling, let me in. Please open the door. Oh, Roger, are you all right?
Yes, of course I'm all right.
The scent of narcissus. The study's filled with it.
Why did you wake me?
You saw her again, didn't you? The narcissus. It's her scent.
If you only hadn't awakened me.
Roger, what are you saying?
If only she'd spoken to me.
What are you saying? It is a dream, isn't it? It must be.
I don't know. I don't know. When twilight comes, I feel her presence in the house, in this room.
It's your imagination. It must be.
Yes, but the scent of narcissus, where does that come from?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's evil. The house is evil. We must leave it.
Leave it? No. No, no, we can't leave it. I've got to see her again. I've got to find out who she is.
Roger, we must leave. I don't understand what's happening to us, but it's evil. I can feel it.
No, I won't leave. I can't.
Roger, unlock this door. I want to talk to you. Roger!
What do you want? I thought I told you I wasn't to be disturbed.
I must talk to you, make you realize that you...
Tonight, Jane, she was closer to me than ever before, so close I could almost touch her. I spoke, and she started to reply, and then you knocked.
Roger, what's happening to you? She's from another world, a phantom, an evil one.
No, no, she isn't evil. She couldn't be. She's too beautiful.
Darling, look at me. You can't let her come between us. I'm your wife. I love you.
I don't want your love.
Roger, listen to me. You must come away from this house. We must leave at once.
No.
I insist.
Will you get out of here? And don't come back. I'll never leave her.
From the house, Doctor, I could still hear him shouting. I'll never leave her. Oh, you must help me, Doctor, you must.
I'll do what I can, Mrs. Barton.
You don't think I'm losing my sanity, do you?
No. That which you fear may well be. Look, there's a history to Wickford Manor, though few people are familiar with it.
A history?
Yes. The house was built in 1811 by Martin Wickford for his bride, Marie Duval. It was considered one of the finest houses in New England. A year later, Marie's sister Isabel came to live with the Wickfords. From some of the old records, letters, I gather she was a remarkably beautiful woman. So beautiful that Martin Wickford fell in love with her, and she with him.
Then what happened?
One day, while Martin was hunting in the mountains, he was killed in a fall. When his companions brought his body back to Wickford Manor, they found Marie, his wife, dead. She'd been poisoned.
Poisoned?
Yes. At the sight of Martin's body, Isabel went to pieces and confessed to the poisoning of her sister. But before she could be arrested, she did away with herself. In the study.
In the study?
Yes. There's a quotation in the Bible to the effect that a murderer shall find no peace in the hereafter. Isabel Duval was a murderess.
Then you do believe her spirit is in the house?
In the years that followed the tragedy, Wickford Manor had a succession of tenants, all of whom left after a brief residence.
You mean they saw her too?
Well, the tenants made no claims of seeing anyone, but their fear of an unknown element in the house led to their leaving.
Yes, but if the other tenants never saw her, why should Roger see her?
Well, Mrs. Barton, have you ever visited some place for the first time, had the feeling you'd seen the place before?
Oh, why, yes, but that was imagination.
Can one be sure it is imagination? Perhaps you had seen that place in the long ago as another person.
As another person?
Yes.
You mean Roger, as another person, had once known Wickford Manor?
How else do you account for his remembrances of things he'd never seen in this life?
I don't know. Doctor, you're trying to tell me something. What is it?
All I know is we must return to the manor at once. The spirit that's abroad in that house is one to be feared more than death itself.
Please, come closer. There's nothing to be afraid of. She's gone. Oh, please, there are only the two of us now. You're beautiful. You're so beautiful. We have met before, haven't we?
Yes. We have met before.
You spoke.
I've waited so long for you, Martin.
Why do you call me Martin? My name is Roger.
It was Martin. Then.
Then? What do you mean?
Look at me, Martin. Look into my eyes. Don't you remember?
Yes. Yes, but where? When?
Think, Martin. Think. Time is the barrier between us, but we shall overcome it. Think back into the dim past when you lived in this house and we loved each other.
When? Isabel. Isabel.
Yes, Martin. Isabel, do you remember now?
Yes, 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 I remember everything up to the day I went hunting in the mountains. and I fell. What happened to me, Isabel? What happened to us? To our love?
Don't think of that accursed day, darling. But think of the future. Our happiness together.
Yes, yes, Isabel, our happiness together.
Just the two of us. In this house, I have waited so long for you to come back, Martin. But at last, we are together.
Yes, yes, darling, forever.
Roger, please open this door.
She's come
Roger.
Back. She's come back, Isabel. Don't go. Darling, don't leave me.
I must, Martin.
No, no,
I
no.
Must.
Come back. Come back. Please, come back.
Roger, unlock this door.
What do you want? Who's he?
Oh, this is Dr. Stewart, Roger. Doctor, this is my husband.
What in the devil did you bring him here for?
Roger, please. I thought perhaps he could help.
What do you mean, help us? I don't need anyone's help.
Your wife has told me everything.
My wife has quite an imagination, Doctor.
Roger.
Lately, she's taking to imagining all sorts of things. I'm beginning to believe she's become unbalanced.
I'm not. How can you say such a thing?
I wish you'd trust me, Mr. Barton. Allow me to try to help you. I must warn you, the spirit of the woman you see in this study is an evil one. One that will lead you to disaster.
I told you I don't need help from you or anyone. Now get out, both of you.
Roger.
Come along, Mrs. Barton.
All I ask is to be left alone.
Oh, Roger. Roger.
Please, please, don't cry, Mrs. Barton.
You saw him. It's as though he were possessed.
Yes, I know.
We must do something. We must.
We shall, but not tonight. I must have time to think about it. You'd better return to the village with me.
No. No, I don't want to leave him in the house alone. Something might happen to him.
Are you sure you want to stay?
Yes.
Very well. I'll return late tomorrow afternoon. When I do, we will take action.
Look at her, Martin. Lying there in her bed, asleep. So defenseless. If you want me, you must get rid of her. Hurry, Martin, it is almost dawn and I must leave. There's no time to waste.
Yes, 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 Isabel, yes. We can't let her come between us. I'll do as you say.
Oh, who's there?
Roger.
Oh, for a moment I was frightened. What time is it?
Well, it's just dawn. I have to do it, Jane. I have to.
No, Roger, do not.
I can't let you come between Isabel and myself. Not now. Not after we've found each other again.
Tighter, Martin, tighter. Until she stops struggling and is still forever.
Isabel. Isabel, don't leave me. Isabel, where are you? Isabel.
Oh, Roger.
Come back, Isabel. Come back.
Roger, can't you see what she's doing to you? Tonight she'll be back again and she won't let you fail.
Isabel, darling, don't leave me. Now, please, don't leave me, Isabel.
Oh, Roger. Roger.
And then he stopped choking you, ran out of your room and down to the study?
Yes.
Where is he now?
He's still in the study. He's been there all day.
I should have known better than to have let you remain in this house last night. She knows that if he murders you, he'll join her cursed spirit forever.
Oh, look, it's growing dark out. Soon she'll appear before him again. Doctor, we must do something. Last night you said you'd help
me. I will. This woman, Isabel, has been denied the peace of the grave because her sister's blood is on her hands. She belongs neither to the living or the dead, only to this house. If we could get your husband to leave, it might break the spell she's cast over him.
Yes, but he absolutely refuses to leave.
Then we must force him to.
Force him to?
Yes. I can very quickly give him a hypodermic, render him unconscious.
Yes, then we could carry him away.
To make sure he never returns to this house, we must burn it to the ground before we leave.
Burn the
yes,
house?
Yes. Unless, of course, you don't want to.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will burn it. And the evil that's in it.
Then if you'll lead the way to the study.
All right, Doctor. Have you the hypodermic ready?
Yes. Now, when your husband opens the door, just gain his attention for a moment. Long enough for me to give him the hypodermic.
Very well. Shall I knock now?
Yes, I'm ready.
Roger, open the door. I want to talk to you.
What do you want? Why has he come back to this house?
Oh, he's come to take me away, Roger.
Take you away? Well, good. I'm glad to see... What did you stick me with? What's that in your hand, Doctor?
Just a hypodermic, Mr. Barton.
A hypodermic? Well, why? Well, what are you up to? You're trying to take me away from this house. From her. Well, I won't go. I won't go. Do you hear? You'll never...
Doctor, quick, he's falling.
I've got him, Miss Brunton.
Yes.
Now, I suggest you take that lamp and smash it on the floor.
Yes, let's burn the place to the ground.
That's it. Now, you better help me carry your husband out of the house, Mrs. Barton. In a little while, this house will be a mass of flame.
He's regaining consciousness now, Mrs. Barton.
Will he remember what's happened?
I don't know.
Oh, hello, Janie. Oh,
darling.
I had a terrible dream. It's all so confused. And Janie, darling, you're crying.
It's nothing, darling. You've been very ill, but now you're going to be all right.
Of course.
Well, who are you?
He's Dr. Stewart, Roger. He's been looking after you during your illness.
Oh? Where am I?
You're in my home, Mr. Barton.
Oh.
Yes, darling. Our own house burned down last night.
It burned down?
Yes.
Well, that's too bad. Why, we only had one night in our new home.
One night?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course, Roger.
Well, Mrs. Barton, in spite of the loss of your home, I think you were very fortunate. There are things far worse than fire.
Yes, Doctor. And I can never thank you enough for breaking the bridge between the past and the present.
What are you two talking about?
Oh, nothing, darling. Nothing at all. Darling, you've been humming that all day.
Well, I'm just glad to be out of a sick bed and on my way to California. Look, we just crossed the state line into Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've come almost 600 miles since dawn.
Yeah, it's getting dark.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think we ought to stop now for the night?
Anything you say, darling.
Yeah, let's stop at the next motel.
Hmm? All right. Well, I guess I better turn the headlights on. There.
Oh, darling, I've never been so happy. Roger.
Hmm? What?
Do you smell something?
Yes, it's good country air.
No, I don't mean that.
But, Jenny, what's wrong with you?
Don't you smell it?
Smell what? Oh, you mean that perfume?
Yes.
It seems familiar. Yes. What is it?
Narcissus.
Narcissus. Wasn't that the scent in the study that first evening?
Yes. She's in the car, isn't she, Roger? She's followed us. Roger, answer me.
What?
Roger. Roger, you mustn't listen to her. She's trying to come between us.
What?
Darling, look at me. Look at me. Why are you slowing down? No. No.
Thank you.
mysterious travel again. Did you enjoy our trip? Poor Janie. There are some ghosts you just can't escape from. Strangely enough, as Roger Barton was being hanged some 6 months later for his wife's murder, everyone noticed a strange scent of perfume about the gallows. Some people said afterward it was the scent of narcissus. I trust that if you ever see a house for the first time and it looks familiar, you'll have the good sense to turn and flee. Perhaps a ghost out of your past awaits in that house. A ghost that's been waiting for you a long time, and he's go... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. I'm sure we meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
You have just heard The Mysterious Traveler. Now you can follow other tense and exciting adventures of The Mysterious Traveler in the current issue of The Mysterious Traveler magazine, now available. In our cast were Bryna Rayburn and Lyle Sudro. Maurice Tarplin starred in the title role. Music under the direction of Emerson Buckley, composed by Richard DuPage. This program came to you from New York.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 29th of January, 1952, on Mutual. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.